Amen. Amen. Welcome to Lakeside United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor David Branson. It's Palm Sunday.
Yes.
Can you believe already it is Palm Sunday? What's next Sunday?
Easter.
What happens on Easter?
Resurrection.
He is risen indeed. He is risen indeed. Just a few announcements this morning before we get started in our service. Tonight is a big night in the life of our church. We're having our Easter cantata tonight at 7 o'clock. So I hope that all of you can come back tonight. The music department has put together a great program tonight. And I encourage you all to bring a friend, bring a neighbor. I'd like to fill this place up tonight with some beautiful music and a time of worship and fellowship in the house of the Lord once again this evening. So come back tonight at 7 o'clock for our Easter cantata. You do have your Connect cards there and your bulletins with you. If you would, fill those out and drop them in the offering plate as they come by. Also, there's prayer cards in your pews there in front of you. Something that you would like lifted up this morning during our prayer time, you can hand them off to the ushers as well this morning. Next Saturday, Easter extravaganza. You ever been to one? It's a great time. I'd invite you to bring your kids, your grandkids, your neighbors. Go out and grab some kids and bring them to church next week. Between 11 and 1, we're going to have an Easter egg hunt, some activities and crafts and things with the kids. I believe we're also having a bounce house. So you may see your pastor in the bounce house this year as well. So I encourage you all to come out and bring the kids. And we're going to have a great time here. If you do need help with that, as usual, there's a sign-up sheet in the narthex on the podium back there. We could certainly use your help to help pull this event off. So if you could help us out with that, sign up on the sign-up sheet and see Christina Harden or myself if you're willing to volunteer to help out with that. We could certainly use your help next Saturday as well. We do have our Holy Week activities coming up this week. On Wednesday evening, we'll have our healing and communion service at 6 o'clock, followed by our Bible study. On Thursday evening, we will be having our Holy Thursday service right here in the sanctuary at 7 p.m. So I hope you can come out for that as well. At noon on Friday, we'll be doing the Stations of the Cross around our property like we've done for the last couple of years. It's a very moving time of worship and the time spent here on the church property. So I'd encourage you all to come out on noon on Friday as well. Of course, our Easter extravaganza on Saturday, and then we're having Sunday morning Easter sunrise services right out here in the side yard beginning at 6:30, and our regular service at 10 o'clock. So do you think there's something at church this week you could do? I hope so. I hope you can do all of those things. So let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
scorned and reviled by the same people who greeted him with sounds of praise and adoration. On this day, we were greeted with hosannas. We remember that your closest followers denied that they knew you and abandoned you as you faced the cross. We are astonished at the complete and utter failure of human love. In light of our failure, we are even more astonished that through you, God's love for all humanity is made evident. We have nowhere to dwell but in your love. Amen.
And it is not here to die for us, that we may be forgiven and have a gateway to heaven. Let's sing it, please.
You are my life, Lord.
So this week, as we go through to Easter Sunday, we're going to have a whole week of the last week of Jesus' life. And then what happens on Easter morning after Friday? Jesus rose from the dead. That's what we celebrate. We have a celebration today that he came into town, and on next Sunday is even a bigger celebration, isn't it? That's awesome. So that's what I want you to remember this week, that we're celebrating what happened in the last week of Jesus' life. And this is the start of that last week. Good deal? Good stuff. Let's have a prayer. Father, thank you for sending these young minds and these young faces. And Father, I am just grateful for their presence with us this morning. Father, work mightily in their lives. Let them continue to grow in their faith. Let them seek out the story of Jesus and what he means to all of us. Father, I bless them now. I ask your blessing upon them as well. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Awesome.
This morning that
You have heard our requests, that you have heard our pleadings with you. You have heard our reaching out for help. Father, all these names mentioned here this morning, I pray your divine blessing upon them. In areas for healing, Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would come and surround them and heal them in just the way that you have for them. Father, I pray God's peace to come over them. They would not be worried about the healing process or test results, that they would know they're in God's hands. So, Father, we pray the ultimate healing for them. Father, we lift up our other concerns this morning of finances, of economic hardship, maybe even just a meal on the table, Father, and a roof over our head. Father, those needing that support this morning, I lift up to you. Father, I pray for those suffering from addiction in whatever form that it takes in our lives that would keep us from a closer walk with you. Father, I pray that you would take away these demons that strip us of our dignity, of our goodness, and of our faithfulness. Father, things that would keep us from you, I pray that you would remove them from us. Father, thank you for the blessings of this day. The blessings of this Palm Sunday as Jesus Christ himself rode into town on a little donkey. Father, proving his humbleness, his humility, proving that he didn't have to stand out above others, that he came to serve others. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for providing us with a music program that can bring a beautiful cantata tonight. Father, I lift up all of those that are singing tonight, and Wendell, and our church as we come together to remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, bless us. Keep us safe. Father, keep us of the body of Christ. Keep us strong in our walk with you. Father, thank you, Jesus, for the beautiful gift that comes on Easter morning. Father, thank you for the blessings of this day. And now let us pray with the confidence of the children of God. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thank you.
know that God is always with us. God blesses us. Everything that we have comes from Him. Offering is always a matter of the heart, just like Christ offered Himself freely for us. Let us give with gladness in our hearts. Will the ushers please come forward?
Thank you.
you all can come back and join us for the cantata tonight. It's going to be a beautiful program. Well, today was a big day in the life of the followers of Jesus, wasn't it? They thought he was coming into town to stir up some trouble, to run those unruly Romans right out of town. Is that what he got? Is that what they got? Not really. Not quite what they expected, did they? Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. Follow along in your Bibles if you have them, or hear these words this morning. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anybody says anything to you, say that the Lord needs him." He sent them off right away. Now this happened to fulfill what the prophet said. "Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the donkey's offspring." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them. Then he sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. "Who is this?" they asked. The crowds answered, "It's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of Christ's word this morning. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings of this day. Father, I ask a blessing upon this message, that as we hear it again, Lord, that it would have new meaning, that it would have the meaning for us today that you wish and how you wish it to change our lives. Father, bless our time here together. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So you know, it's a little strange in the Bible as we read this text this morning. But just as I shared with the children, I don't wonder why, but wouldn't the story have been more exciting if it had been a great white stallion that he came charging into town? Or if no less, maybe a nice camel. You get the sense from this depiction here, as we read in Matthew, these weren't very prestigious animals, were they? It was a little donkey. And if we watch movies of Jesus, isn't Jesus always a nice tall guy? I bet his feet were nearly dragging the ground. Do you see the picture there? Do you see that? The first true public acknowledgement of Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah. And he comes in the way that was predicted, didn't he? Do you think that this plan was made up before Jesus actually got to town? You know that it was, right? Bible prophecy tells us that the Messiah would come riding into town on a colt. You know, if Jesus and God can use maybe a stinky little donkey, do you think God can use you and I? Do you think, even as broken and battered as we are, that he may have a plan for you and I as well? I'm sure of it. So the question I'd like for you to consider today, how does this little donkey seem fit for service? Why did Jesus send two disciples ahead to find just this situation. As we go through the rest of the message, there's three things I would like you to take from this message. It was what made this little donkey fit for royal service, and how that is equally as important to us. There'll be three points this morning. The first point being, that donkey was selected. It was prearranged, wasn't it? The story had been set in motion before Jesus ever got to town. Verses 1 through 3, as they approached Jerusalem, he sent two men ahead. Go there, just to this specific house, and you'll find just what I'm telling you, you'll find. Now, how did Jesus know that? Had he run up ahead the night before and made a barter with the owner of his donkey and his colt? That's not in the story, is it? Did the disciples go ahead the day before and make these arrangements? No, they were just as shocked as anyone else that they could go ahead and find what Jesus had pointed out to them. Seems pretty cloak and dagger, doesn't it? How would this be laid out ahead of time? But it was. The point was that this specific donkey had been set aside for noble service. It was there for a purpose. Are we here for a purpose? You see where I'm going with this? This donkey was set aside for a noble cause. It was set aside by prophecy. The word had been brought to the people long before. So this all took place to fulfill what was spoken through a prophet. 550 years earlier, Zechariah had prophesied that the little donkey, that God had a plan for a little donkey. Did Jesus know that story? Safe to say, I'm sure he did. It was part of God's plan. He selected that little donkey just as he has selected you and I. Now, does that make you nervous? Does it make you nervous that you have been set aside ahead of time for some service, for some noble service in the kingdom of God? How many of you think you're still wandering through life looking for what it is God has laid out for you? Anyone brave enough to raise their hand and say, I don't know if this is quite what God had in mind? Well, I got to tell you, some days I ask myself that. God, is this really where you want me? Is this really what you want me to do with my life? But apparently each one of you know you're right where God wants you to be. I got it, didn't I? I didn't look back here. How many raised their hand back here? You know what God's purpose is for you? Oh, we got a little bit going on here. Maybe. You have been set aside. You have been selected. John 15, verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Anybody see any evidence in your life of fruit that you planted that now is bearing fruit in its own way? Questions get stickier, don't they? Any hands on that? Boy, the choir is going for brownie points today. You see fruit being produced where you've planted a seed, maybe? I know they have. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I don't consider myself really old yet, but I'm creeping up on it. You ever think maybe we should not wait too long to get started? as sand through the hour, as set, as sands through the hour. So that is us a lot. Remember that from my childhood. Yes. Our work has been prepared ahead of time for us, hasn't it? So you all are pretty good with where you're at in that work. Well, it's something for us to work on. It's something for us to work towards. We haven't been chosen not only for a blessing, but we've been chosen to bless others. Amen?
Amen.
We may not all be kings or Sunday school teachers or some big shot in the corporate world or somebody that people bow down to. We've all been chosen. We've all been sanctified. That's the second thing. We've been sanctified for this work. Does that make you feel better? Does that give you more boldness? That you've been sanctified?
Amen.
Well, it should give you a sense of someone's got your back. Going back to this little donkey that they chose, in Jewish tradition, it often had special religious significance of these animals. Because these animals had not been used for a worldly purpose. These animals that they sacrificed were just that. They were without blemish. The same with this colt. This colt was set aside for this purpose. Now, how many have had any experience with donkeys? I want to tell you a childhood, not okay, you can back here. I've got a story from my childhood about the temperament of a donkey. It's not one of my older brothers. My best friend in high school lived on a farm. They had horses and actually raised horses. They had probably half a dozen horses, but when all of us would gather up to go out to his farm to ride horses, they had what we called a big white donkey. I always got stuck on the donkey. Now you know those donkeys' temperament sometimes is rather shaky, isn't it? You've been to the Grand Canyon, you see the big mule they use. But that mule in line only knows the tail of the one in front of it. But this donkey from my childhood, I was probably a teenager in high school, we'd go out and ride horses, and I somehow got stuck on this big white donkey most of the time. This thing was cantankerous. Now the fact that Jesus could just walk up and sit on this donkey and never have a problem with it, I wonder how he did that. It was chosen ahead of time. But in my case, we would go off riding. First thing I know, you know, guide wires that come down off the telephone poles? This old donkey would run over there and try to run me off on that guide wire. Try to rip my leg off. And you had to keep a good hold on him so his head didn't turn back towards the barn. Because if he ever looked back and saw the barn, it was a dead run back to the barn. I was big, but I was skinny, and I couldn't turn him around. First thing you know, he's run right into the barn. He's gone back in the barn. So as a rule, donkeys can be rather cantankerous, can't they? How many people do you know like that? See where I'm going with that now, too, right? Each of us have a purpose, and those mean old donkeys have a purpose as well, and I don't know quite what it is yet. But they can be pretty cantankerous and pretty stiff-necked, as they say, right? It's hard to turn them away from their goal if they're running back to what they know is familiar. Is running back to what is familiar always a good thing for us? Just because it's familiar to us doesn't mean it's necessarily good for us, does it? There's another sermon in that. But yes, even people that we think have no place have a purpose. This donkey proved its purpose for Jesus' work that day. And so should we. The donkey was prepared for the Lord's use, and so should we. We should be prepared for when we're called. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. So spending time getting to know the Lord is good stuff, isn't it? You hear me encourage you all the time to read your Bible, to go to Bible study. It helps us to become sanctified for service. Sanctified. Do you see yourselves as sanctified? Finally, the third thing to be useful for the Lord, like the donkey, we must be satisfied. How many servants do you know that are dissatisfied with serving the Lord? People that have truly given their heart to the Lord, I've told you many times, if you locked them in a room and told them they couldn't do something for someone else, they would probably drop over dead, wouldn't they? As a Christian, we're called to serve others. That's what Jesus did that day. Did the Jewish people think he was going to do that day? He did. As he comes riding in on his little donkey and they're shouting their praises and hosannas and all happy, I bet in the back of their minds thinking, how is he going to pull this off? How is this humble man going to run the Romans out of town? Because they were thinking of their immediate need, weren't they? They were thinking of what do we need right now, this day? What is he going to do for us today? Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. He has chosen us. We are to present ourselves to Him. What does that mean for you and I today? In spite of the importance of the donkey's role in this fulfillment of prophecy, his job was to lift Jesus up so he could be seen by the crowds. Because even sitting on the little donkey, he was above everyone else, wasn't he? But he didn't come across as a stately king or a ruler to rule over them. He came in humility. Jesus warned us in his Sermon on the Mount not to be like those religious people who stand on the street corner and shout out how great they are and how great they are in the eyes of God. So Jesus used this donkey in his most triumphant public moment, in the greatest moment in Jesus' life, coming into town to the wails of the crowd. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. He could have chosen anything. But he came in humility. And that's our worst. serve in humility, serve others, and be prepared for when a couple of guys in robes come to your door, knock on the door and say, "Hey, the Lord needs you. The Lord needs you." What do we do when the Lord knocks? Have you heard the knock? The knock has always been there. I love the painting of Jesus in the garden, standing at the door knocking. There's no doorknob on his side, is there? Look at that painting closely next time. There's no doorknob on Jesus' side. You've got to let him in. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm pretty happy that I stayed on task today for the message. Nancy and I went to see the movie last night, God Is Not Dead. Driving home, I told her I shouldn't see these movies on Saturday night. It doesn't give me much time to rewrite my sermon for Sunday morning. I don't know if any of you have seen the movie or not. It's a so-so movie. I told Nancy she thought it was great from start to finish. And I thought, you know, part of that I may be sort of uneasy, and I don't know why. But the ending was great. Has anyone seen the movie, God Is Not Dead? Beverly, you've seen it?
Absolutely.
It has a great message, as you know, you knew it would.
I recommend it.
Yes. But the message was also that you're never too far from God. The message was that even a little donkey is meaningful to God. So if you haven't seen the movie, take a look at it if you would like to see. Let me know what you think of it. That's my message for you all today. God has called each of you. You have a purpose. You've been sanctified for the work of the Lord. Take comfort in that. Amen.
Amen.
Loud goes in. Number 278. See if we have it on PowerPoint. If not, we may have to grab one of these. We have that one. Please stand and sing with us, please.
Sound.
Jesus gave us a great gift on this day, didn't he? He came with promise and hope. That's how we should leave this place today. Sanctified by God's grace, given an assignment to go out into the world and tell others the good news. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
How about you?